No More Delay, The Second Coming is Imminent by Larry W. Wilson. Copyrighted 2018 by Wake Up America Seminars, Incorporated. The Second Coming is Overdue. World War III is inevitable, and this war will be unlike all previous wars. There will be a sequence of nuclear exchanges, and millions of innocent people will be wiped out in a single day. A worldwide panic will follow. People will be crying for peace and safety. Nuclear bombs can turn a huge metropolitan city into no man's land within minutes. Worse, many who survive the bombs will later die from nuclear consequences. Nuclear war requires a simple mindset: annihilate the enemy or be annihilated. Bible prophecy indicates Jesus will suddenly bring World War III to an end with a display of divine wrath that dwarfs the destructive capabilities of mankind. Revelation 8 indicates God's wrath will include a global earthquake that will ruin the infrastructures of earth, followed by a fiery hailstorm which will burn one-third of the earth. And then a large asteroid will impact the ocean. The resulting tsunami will destroy thousands of coastal cities. And after these global disasters, a second asteroid will impact a wicked continent, and the underground aquifers will become contaminated. Millions of people will die from drinking poisoned water. Finally, there will come a devastating chain of volcano eruptions. Soot and ash will fill the atmosphere, and darkness will cover the middle third of the earth, the breadbasket of our planet. Global famine and great tribulation will begin. As terrible as World War III will be, the coming wrath of God is exponentially worse. While we are waiting for the onset of the next world war and the arrival of God's overwhelming wrath, now is a good time to become acquainted with God's plans for earth, foretold in the books of Daniel and Revelation. Soon, the four angels stationed at the four corners of the earth, Revelation 7, will be permitted to sound their trumpets, and the devastation of earth, foretold in Revelation 8, will occur. The angels are ready to harm the earth. They are waiting for Jesus to say, "There will be no more delay." Revelation 10:6. Acknowledgements. This book is dedicated to all who are eager for Jesus to appear in the clouds of glory. Bible prophecy declares that Jesus will soon return to earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:11-16. To some he will say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Matthew 25:34. And to the rest he will say, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Matthew 7:23. This book has been made possible through the sacrificial generosity of donors who understand and love a unique gospel that includes several startling revelations about Jesus Christ. The Bible indicates the fullness and the sovereign deity of Jesus will be revealed throughout the whole world during the Great Tribulation. These revelations will be so powerful and convicting that they will overcome many cultural and religious paradigms. Even though most of the people who read this book will never know the identity of the benefactors who made it possible, Jesus knows what has been done, and he will reward them accordingly when he returns. Meanwhile, a special appreciation is due to Diane, Jane, Eunice, Velma, and Waylu, Rex, Paul, Marty, and many others for their help with editing, proofreading, and valuable suggestions. I'm also indebted to a group of enthusiastic volunteers and a growing number of wonderful people worldwide who understand the unique message presented in this book and faithfully support this ministry. Wake Up America Seminars, Incorporated, WUAS, is a nonprofit 501c3 organization. WUAS is not affiliated with any church or endorsed by any religious body. We do not have members or offer membership. Our mission is to proclaim the gift of salvation which God has provided through His Son and herald the imminent return of the Creator, Jesus Christ, through whatever means possible. We believe time is near when Jesus' promise will be fulfilled. He said, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am." John 14. 2 and 3. To the reader, please take a moment to consider 5 topics before reading this book. First, depending on your religious beliefs and background, you may find certain concepts in this book to be disturbing, crazy, or even inflammatory. Be assured, I have no desire to offend or insult anyone. Jesus had no desire to offend or insult anyone when he was here on earth, but he offered many people, First, depending on your religious beliefs and background, you may find certain concepts in this book to be disturbing, crazy, or even inflammatory. Be assured, I have no desire to offend or insult anyone. Jesus had no desire to offend or insult anyone when he was on earth, but he offended many people by revealing new concepts the Father wanted revealed. Bible truth is progressive. The Bible is a gold mine full of treasure. When new truth is found, it requires rethinking everything previously understood. Every Bible student faces a challenge to move forward with the Holy Spirit as He guides us into all truth. John 6:13. The truth about God and His plan for our salvation is ever unfolding. Ephesians 3:8-10. God releases information about Himself and His plans through His Word when the time arrives. For example, God sealed the book of Daniel until the time of the end, Daniel 12:9. This forward-moving process makes the Bible exciting. Some people are happy with what they know and are unwilling to receive new light. Others eagerly search the Scriptures because they know that there is an endless supply of new things to learn. I was imprisoned by my inherited religious paradigms for many years, basically studying the Bible to prove what I already believed. However, as the years went by, I began to find cracks in my own theology. Eventually, this led to an awakening when several puzzle pieces snapped together. I was overjoyed to find answers to my question and at the same time stymied by the social consequences. I have been blessed by the fact that Bible truth is progressive. I now believe and understand Bible teachings I did not know or believe previously. My growth in God's Word and my love and admiration for God continues to expand because more than anything, I want to know God. The best way to know God is to allow His Word to speak for itself. Resolving each apparent conflict is exciting. For more than 45 years, my prayer has been, Lord, I don't care what the truth is, what it costs, or where it leads. I just want to know the truth. No one should expect to find and embrace greater truth if he is unwilling to let go of faulty assumptions or presuppositions. God's Word is full of wonderful treasures. If we will take what it says to heart, it will constantly challenge, change, and shape our lives and knowledge of God. This concept irritates those who insist that religious beliefs should never be challenged or changed. As you read this book, you need to be aware that my understanding of the Bible is a work in progress. If you have read any of my previous works, you may notice minor changes because I continue to search for truth. Conclusions are proven true by the harmony that comes from the sum of its parts. Because the Bible is God's Word, consider looking up each Bible reference as you read along so that you can confirm what the Bible says for yourself. Second, I am writing this book because I want to share a short summary of coming events, and in the process, I hope to show that Jesus' behavior is justified for what he is about to do. I also hope that after reading this book, you will be inspired to study deeper into the many diverse topics that are involved with apocalyptic prophecy. Because this book is deliberately brief, it may create more questions than answers in some areas. If you want more information about topics presented in this book, there are hundreds of articles and many hours of video covering various issues on our website. You may freely download them or view them at www.wake-up.org. Third, if you have to stop reading because you find the information in this book is too troubling, please do not throw it away. Place this book in your bookcase. Third, if you have to stop reading because you find the information in this book is too troubling, please do not throw it away. Place this book in your bookcase and let it serve as a time capsule. Then, after World War III begins and several million people have been killed by nuclear exchange, find this book and give it another try. Time will tell if its story is true. You are reading this book because you are interested in Bible prophecy, so keep it around and compare it with the facts as they unfold. Fourth, if a mass teacher tells a student that 3 plus 3 equals 6. Would his answer be an opinion or the result created by the laws of addition? Of course you know the laws of the addition. You would conclude that the math teacher is presenting the result. However, put yourself in the student's shoes. If the student does not know the laws of addition, he cannot tell the difference between the result and an opinion. This is a critical point. Much of the story you are about to read is not my opinion. It is the result that four rules of interpretation produce. I believe four self-evident rules were sealed in the book of Daniel until the time of the end. Daniel 12, 4 and verse 9. These rules produce a result I wish was much different. There's only one way for an apocalyptic prophecy to teach what we do want. Back to after Daniel 12, 4.9. These rules produce a result which I wish were much different. There is only one way for apocalyptic prophecy to teach what we do not want to believe, and this is through the use of valid rules of interpretation. These self-evident rules may be difficult to appreciate and understand at first, but they are crucial to reaching the intended meaning of apocalyptic prophecy. Like the laws of mathematics, they must be going back to Daniel 12, verses 4 and 9. These rules produce a result I wish was much different. There's only one way for apocalyptic prophecy to teach what we do not want to believe, and this is through the use of valid rules of interpretation. These self-evident rules may be difficult to appreciate and understand at first, but they are crucial to reaching the intended meaning of the apocalyptic prophecy. Like the rules of mathematics, they must be properly applied to produce legitimate results. So these are the four rules. One, each apocalyptic prophecy has a beginning and an ending point in time, and the events within each prophecy must occur in the order that God has provided. God has declared the chronological order of the elements within each prophecy so that the events are not subject to human speculation. If God has not declared the order of events in each prophecy, who has the authority to declare God's intent? Number two, a fulfillment of apocalyptic prophecy occurs when all of the specifications within the prophecy are met. This includes the order of events outlined in the prophecy. God has declared the specifications for each element within a prophecy. Therefore, when all of the specifications are met, the prediction is fulfilled. A prophetic element within prophecy cannot have more than one fulfillment because no one, A, has the authority to break the chronological order given, and B, no one can declare the number of times that a particular element will be fulfilled. Three, apocalyptic language can be literal, symbolic, or analogous. To reach the intended meaning of a prophecy, the student must consider the context, the use of parallel language in the Bible, and relevant statements in the Bible defining what symbol, if an element is thought to be symbolic. Many people claim something in an apocalyptic prophecy is symbolic without producing a relevant statement from scriptures that defines the symbol. When God uses a symbol, he defines the symbol. When God uses literal language, he means what he says. When God uses analogous language, he offers a metaphor to help us understand his thoughts. When apocalyptic language is treated properly, God's intended meaning is not ruined. Four, God uses time in apocalyptic prophecy in two ways, a day for a year and literal time. The presence or absence of the Jubilee calendar determines how time is defined. The 70 weeks in Daniel 9 amounts to 490 years because the 70 weeks occurred during the operation of the Jubilee calendar, which ended in 1994. That is from 1437 BC to 1994. However, the 1290 and the 1335 days of Daniel 12 and the 1260 days granted to the two witnesses in Revelation 11 are in the future. These time periods are literal days because they occur after 1994. Because millions of Christians have different views on Bible prophecy, unbelievers scoff at our diversity. They claim that the Bible can be made to say anything that people want it to say, and point to the endless confusion among Christians as proof. The only way to turn this sentiment around, especially with apocalyptic prophecy, is to use valid rules of interpretation. Faulty rules of interpretation will always produce faulty results. Evidence behind the four rules of interpretation is not included in this book because it only presents the results of applying them. If the four rules that I use are valid, and if I've properly applied them, the result will be the story that you are about to read. To learn more about the four rules and how they are applied, please go to wakeup.org and look for the short article about the rules of interpretation at that wake-up.org. You will also freely download my 600-plus book, Jesus' Final Victory, for a comprehensive study showing why the rules are self-evident in the book of Daniel and how they are applied to Daniel and Revelation. Fifth, if separated from the larger context of this book, the first chapter would give an impression that God is very cruel and fairly harsh. So please do not stop reading until you have completed chapter 2. The devil delights in distorting God's character and love, causing people to falsely think that God is either a tyrant or a divine Santa Claus. The same God who drowned men, women, and children in Noah's day, Genesis 6 and 7, also sent his Son to die on the cross for us because of our sins, John 3:16. God loves people. He is a great king, changeless, generous, fair, and reasonable, Malachi 1:14 and 3, chapter 3, verse 6, Exodus 15:11 through 13, Psalms 11:7, Isaiah 1, verse 18. God's love for human beings is balanced in three ways. First, he understands the curse of sin and how it affects everyone on earth. Second, he knows what is best for individuals short and long term. Finally, he knows what is best and most beneficial today for future generations. God has sustained life on earth for thousands of years and manages the human race according to policies that are righteous and necessary. He has no evil intent or selfishness. Instead, he acts with love and infinite wisdom. The Bible says the foundation of God's throne are righteousness and judgment, Psalms 89, verse 14. He is long-suffering and patient, not wanting anyone to perish, 2 Peter 3:9. He generously extends mercy to sinners day after day, year after year, until a day comes when he determines that extended mercy will have no redeeming effect. When this point is reached, God responds to man's wickedness. He destroys defiant and degenerate generations, so future generations will be free of their ancestors' perverted values and poisonous attitudes and ways. If we could see everything going on in the world today as God sees it, I am sure that we would agree that God has to act very soon, or as I heard Billy Graham once say, he will owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. Larry Wilson, June 2018. Okay, I'm finished, hon. I don't know if we got all your background noise, though.